Well, I want to start out our teaching time here with the reading of our central passage for the morning. We're in a sermon series on the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and this verse is going to come from that book. No need really to look it up this morning. It's short, and I'll have it for you on the screen. This is from the 30th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read both the 15th and the 21st verse for you. You can go ahead and put that up there. It says this: "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" I want to sell you on a vision this morning. And to start out, I need to ask a question. Do you have peace in your life? Is that a word, peace, that you would use to describe something you experience on a regular basis in your life? And if not, first of all, I would imagine it's pretty safe to say you're not alone. Second of all, I think it would also be safe for me to guess that peace is something you long for to have in your life. And don't you think this is probably true of most people in the world? Most of us, anyway, long to have peace in our lives, and many of us struggle to attain it. Well, guess what I'm going to tell you today? I'm going to assert to you this morning that peace in your life is achievable, and that it really only is achievable, at least in its fullest sense, the sense in which we want peace, the sense in which we need it. It really only is fully achievable through having an active, growing, prioritized saving relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. You might be able to find snippets of peace here and there throughout life, drawing from other sources, but I don't believe that you will ever experience true, lifelong, lasting type peace without coming to God. It's been a theme that our study in the book of Isaiah has brought us into over recent weeks, and I've felt led to do another round on this topic here today. Some of it will be repeat for those who have been here. Some of it will be new. But I am fairly confident that there are people sitting in this building here this morning, maybe a lot of us, who are longing for peace. And I want to tell you, it's available. Let me read some Bible verses for you. A few Sundays ago, we studied Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Here they are for you again. "You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. In that previous sermon, we saw that the English word steadfast there is a translation of a Hebrew word that meant being braced by or held up by something strong. It also could mean laying your hands on something for support. So the image is strong support for a person who is in an uncertain situation. And what is it in that verse that is described as being the source of that strong support? Well, you can see it at the end of the sentence there. It's the person's trust in God that is the source of that support. And really, we're not talking here about the value of trust in itself. It really, we're talking about the value of the one who is trusted in, right? And that would be God. God is trustworthy, it says in Isaiah and all over Scripture. And the claim is that if you put your trust in God, you can have peace in your life. Peace is available. We also looked at this verse from Isaiah recently. This is Isaiah 28, verse 16, which says, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, in Israel, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." The cornerstone is the most important stone in a masonry foundation for a building, and a building's foundation is the most important part of the entire structure. We saw in that previous sermon that when Scripture uses this image of a cornerstone, it is almost always applying it to God or to the Messiah, who is Jesus. So the invitation of this verse in Isaiah is to build yourself upon the strong foundation which is God. build your life upon God. And then it's implied that your life will be able to stand up against the storms that come our way, similar to how a building built on a strong foundation can withstand storms. And it says there that the one who trusts in God will never be dismayed, and that sounds like peace to me. So we're talking about peace in our lives. Let's move in a little bit deeper on this. What kind of peace are we talking about here? I think there are lots of areas. If we sat down to think about areas in our lives in which we would like to have peace, I think there's a number of areas that we'd like to have peace in, and I believe that God has an answer for each one of those areas. I want to start out with the idea of having peace about who we are. Peace about who we are. You know, I think from the moment that we are aware of ourselves, maybe later baby stage, early toddler, I'm not sure, we're trying to figure out who we are. And we're testing people around us to determine if we are valuable. And we dearly want to be valuable. Hopefully, if you were raised in a loving home, you had that desire affirmed strongly and often in your childhood, but you might not have. Some parents are good at this, and some, frankly, are not. Hopefully, childhood was a time of building a sense in yourself that you are valued and loved. Even if that was true, however, once you got into school, things might have gotten a little more challenging, especially by the time of junior high. I don't know if this was true for you. Junior high was tough for me. I think it is for a lot of people. So once you're in school, you know, you're still trying to figure out your worth. Yeah, okay, mom and dad love me, I know that, but now I'm interested in all these other people, right? So you're testing. What do these people think? Do people want to hang out with me? Do people invite me to their parties? That kind of thing. And for some, this works out okay, and for some, that's a time of real pain. When people don't respond in the way that we want them to towards us, and that hurts. And really, my guess is even for those who were popular in school and elsewhere, there are still painful moments that come along for all of us when we're hurt by people who we really wanted to value us and to desire to be with us. So many of us have deep hurts within ourselves, I believe, either from school days or maybe even adult days, and we carry with us a sense of self-doubt about our worth. It can be an area in our lives where we really lack peace. And the message of the Bible is that God deeply loves and deeply values you. Each of you. Yes, I mean you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid." God knows you. And God loves you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world. You are part of the world. God loves you. Lamentations 3, "The love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning." Psalm 103, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." And the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, "I pray that you may have the power to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ." God loves you. He values you. As it says in Psalm 139, God knit you together in your mother's womb. All right? He is your creator. Of course he values you, just as we are filled with love for our children. But really, it's even better than that because we love our children imperfectly, but God is not an imperfect being. In fact, it tells us in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. God is love. He loves you. And so the lesson from the Bible on this is that you are immensely valuable because the most immense being in the universe loves you. Knows you, values you. And if that's true, then you know, I think it matters a lot less what other human beings think about you. Didn't say it doesn't matter what other human beings think about you, but I think it can matter less. If God knows you and loves you and values you, then you are valuable. And so you can gain peace. You can gain in your peace level on this issue, peace about who you are. You can begin to heal in this area where in the past pain has brought self-doubt and lack of peace. God makes peace possible in that area. So this is part of our vision for the morning of what life could look like for you. You can walk through life with your head up, your chin up, because you are valued and loved, a child of the King of the universe. You can have peace over who you are, who God created you to be, who he's making you to be as you walk with him. You can have peace in your life. This is a good vision. Maybe you think you're too much of a sinner for that to work for you, or you were too much of a sinner. Sin is an issue. And you're going to have to do some thinking about whether you want the sin more or you want the peace and the love more. Not to mention where you go after you die. Assuming that you will decide that it's more important to get right with God than to continue pursuing the sinful behaviors you are or were involved in, then I can tell you this. God has made a way where there was no way. So none of us had a way to overcome our sin. Each of us is too much of a sinner to be worthy of God's love and salvation. There was no way, but God, he made a way for us by sending his son Jesus to pay the penalty that we owed for our sin on the cross. So that now, if we would turn our hearts to him, we can be made completely clean by his grace. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So you are making him Lord of your life, and you're saying, I'm done running my own life. Lord, you take control. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from the death penalty that our sins imposed upon us. And this means that you can have peace with your Creator. And you can have peace in regards to your past sins. Those are both big things. A minute ago I said human opinions about us can start to mean less when we know that we are loved and valued by God. It's similar here. We may not be able to escape all the earthly consequences of our past sins or even how people look at us, but we can know that in God's eyes, we, when we turn our lives over to him, we're given a completely fresh, new start. Psalm 103:12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him, who respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's what God does with our sins when we come to him in humble submission. And so just as before, the vision here is you can hold your head up high. You can walk with your chin up, even if you were a tremendous sinner in the past, once you've been forgiven by God. And if God can forgive you, you need to be able to get to the point of forgiving yourself, too, for your past mistakes. I can tell you, every single person in this room here today is a sinner. And if they've turned their life over to God, which most have here, then they are a sinner saved only by God's grace. We're all in that boat together. There's no one here better than the other. All are sinners. If we're saved, it's by God's grace, not our own merit. Okay, all are the same. So you too can hold your head up. You can have peace with God in your life, your Creator. You can have peace over your past sins. You will still need to work on ridding yourself of sinful behaviors now and in the future as you move along in life, and God will help you with that if you make the effort. We'll talk more about that later this morning, but good news, we read it earlier from Lamentations, the love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end, his mercies are new every morning for you. That's really good news. God's love and offer of forgiveness doesn't end. There has been made a way for you to have peace with your Creator. We're talking about the possibility of having peace in your life this morning. We've looked so far now at how the Bible says that you can have peace about who you are because of God. You can have peace in your relationship with God, and you can have peace over your past bad choices. There are other areas in our lives that I think we want to have peace in as well. I believe, don't we, that we all want to have peace in the various circumstances that come our way as we go through life. Peace in the ups and the downs of life. Here's where that image of building your life on a strong foundation comes into play, along with that important word trust that we saw in those earlier verses. When you build your life upon God, which you know means you've made him Lord, you're seeking to follow him, then you can trust that God's going to be involved in your circumstances. And I know that if we opened up the microphone here this morning, many of you would give all kinds of testimonies to having seen God work in your past in ways that you know was God. Jesus said that God knows when each sparrow rises or falls, and then he said, don't worry, you're worth more than a sparrow. So if God knows the circumstances of sparrows, he certainly knows the circumstances of those who are seeking to follow him, right? He's going to be involved. Now, if we had that open microphone today, those same people who came forward to testify about seeing God's hand at work in their lives in the past would also tell you that walking with Jesus does not mean you won't have trouble in life. Christ followers still face sicknesses and car accidents and adversity and trouble, again, a result of living in a broken world. But if and when trouble comes in your life, you can fall back on trust. You can trust that if God allowed that thing in your life, then there must be a good reason for it, because God is good and God is love. It may be something that he allowed in your life that has a specific purpose for your life. Or it may be that it was allowed because of, you know, of some cosmic level decision that has nothing to do with you, but we can trust that there's a good reason for it. And that trust can bring you peace. Additionally, God has promised to walk through our trials with us. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We can have peace in our circumstances. Now would be a good time to look again at the first half of our central passage for the day. From Isaiah 30, it said, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. So repentance means turning from sin, that essential and ongoing ingredient in a saving walk with God. And then there's that word trust there again. We don't need to get all worked up in the ups and downs of life. When tough things happen to us, which they will, this verse suggests that we can respond in quietness and in trust. Therefore, we can have rest, it says. We can have peace. Do you know that that verse there was written by Isaiah to Israelites who were facing the very real possibility that the powerful army of Assyria was going to come in and seek to kill and destroy them? Isaiah wrote those words to those people in that circumstance. In repentance and rest is your salvation. And quietness and trust is your strength. Even in the worst of circumstances, when we have God in our lives, we can experience peace. You know, if you ever take a good look at the things that God labels sin in the Bible, you'll begin to realize that each of those behaviors carries with it the very strong possibility that either you will get hurt if you engage in that behavior, or somebody else will get hurt. And as you get to know this God, you learn that these lists of sins are not about ruining our fun. They're there to protect us from getting hurt. God is good. So here is another way then that following God can create peace in the circumstances in our lives. If we follow God and we begin to sin less, just think of all the bad circumstances that will be avoided in our future. Things that we might have brought upon ourselves if we had continued in that sinful behavior. There are plenty of hard things to go through in this life without piling more things on because of our bad behaviors. Let's not bring more hard stuff into our lives. So no matter what you have done in your past, you can still have more peace in your future by stopping sins today. It's never too late to start doing right. So that's another way we can have more peace in our circumstances, simply by obeying God and no longer self-destructing. Stop the behaviors that are bringing bad circumstances into your life. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." God asks us to obey him. That takes intention and discipline, and it may feel difficult, especially at first if you're trying to change behaviors and turn away from destructive things you've been involved in. But in time, you will find that what felt like a hard path at first, turning away from those sins, actually ends up being an easier path and a light path to follow, because now God has freed you from the burdens that those sins were placing on your shoulders. You begin to feel that freedom. And you will also notice that the building of your life is more stable. Because you're building it on the strong foundation. There's less chaos happening in your life. Learn from me, he says there. Let me lead you, Jesus says. And then you will find rest for your souls again. That's peace. A close, intentional walk with God can bring peace to our lives in the midst of changing circumstances, both by lessening the hard things that we have to face due to our own poor choices, but also by helping us through the hard things that will come that have nothing to do with our behaviors. When we come to God, we can trust in him to provide for us, to guide us, to walk along the path with us, good or bad. We can have peace. I don't know about you, but I thought of two other areas in our lives in which we would like to have peace in. The first of those two is this. I really believe we all would like to have peace in our relationships with other people, wouldn't we? In our relationships, we want peace. If you've been with us here at Calvary over the past months and years, you should know fairly well by now, I think, how God instructs us to conduct ourselves in relationships with other people. We're to show them love. I could stop right there. That's the point. Not going to stop right there, but that is the main point. We need to show them love, all people. In fact, as I'm going to review godly principles for you now quickly regarding how we're to act towards the other people in our lives. While I'm doing that, go ahead and think about a relationship that you have in your life right now in which you do not have peace. Think about that for a second. Do you have a relationship in your life right now in which you lack peace? If so, have that relationship going through your mind as I go through this list of concepts now. Hopefully this will be of help for you. Biblical principles lead us to these thoughts about our relationships with other people. We are supposed to be courteous and gentle in the words we speak to people. We are supposed to engage in loving actions towards people, not just words. We are to believe in people and give them the benefit of the doubt when we're unsure of their motivations. We're to encourage the people in our lives rather than tear them down. We are not to talk poorly about people behind their backs. That's not loving. And then here's a big one. We are to do all of those things, even if the other person is not acting in ways that deserve these kinds of actions from us. I'll say that one again. We are to do all of these things, even if the other person is not acting in ways that deserve those kinds of behaviors from us. You know, God loved and valued us even when we weren't behaving in lovable and valuable ways. And so he asks us to do the same for other people. In fact, we're even to do those kinds of things for people who have set themselves up as our enemies, Scripture tells us. We're still to act in courteous and gentle ways, not talking poorly about those people behind their backs. Yeah, there is a time to speak the truth to people you're in conflict with, but the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love with loving motivations, not vengeful motivations or hurtful motivations. And then lastly, when we have conflict with people, we're asked in Scripture to go to the person one-on-one and seek to work out that issue in love. Seems to me that if you would do all of those things on that list there to some level of success with the people in your life, you're doing your part, you certainly should begin to experience less overall conflict in your relationships. Have more peace. Of course, we know that relationships are two-way streets. We are only able to affect our own behaviors. And so it's likely that you will not be able to achieve peace in every relationship in your life. But you know, even in that scenario, I think there is still peace to be found. If you have behaved in these godly ways we've described here with that person, you can have peace just knowing that you did what you could. You did your part. You can also gain peace through forgiving that other person, even when they're being bad to you. Because the Lord has forgiven you, you can let your anger go. God knows you. He knows your motivations. He loves you. You can let your anger go. You can have peace. So, even in dysfunctional relationships where you've done everything that you can, there's peace to be found. I wonder, as you reflected there about the person that you have a relationship with right now in your life that you're not having peace with, I hope that some of those principles anyway might have given you some thoughts about how you can behave in that situation moving forward and move that situation closer to peace. God offers us a path to peace in our relationships. The last area in our lives that I think we would all like to experience peace in won't need much explaining. Wouldn't we all like to have peace in regards to our approaching death? It may be a long way off, but it is still approaching. And the only way I know to get peace on that one is by heeding the call to come to Christ and be saved, which brings with it the promise of eternal life in heaven. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, if God can make this broken, messed up world so incredible, with so many beautiful and awesome things to discover in it, then just imagine what he's going to do with the restored, unbroken world of heaven, what that might be like. It's actually something to look forward to. When you walk with Jesus, the day of your death doesn't have to be something that you think about with dread. It can actually begin to be something that you anticipate with some level of interest, maybe even excitement, the next stage in the adventure. Being done with all the junk that goes on in this world. When you follow Jesus with your life, you can even attain a level of peace in regards to your approaching death. So I believe if you sat down and you wrote out all the areas in your life you wish you had peace in, a close walk with God has an answer for each of those areas. Well, let's go back to my opening assertion here, my opening assertion statement to you this morning. I said this at the beginning. I said that peace in your life is attainable, fully achievable, through having an active, growing, prioritized, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're out there this morning thinking, yeah, I want the peace, I want all those things Pastor Eric's talking about today, then please don't miss seeing the descriptors in that sentence there. Peace is found in a relationship with God, not some mental assent that, yeah, I believe there probably is a God out there somewhere. It's not a scenario where I only think about God on Christmas and Easter and when I'm really in trouble. Okay? No, peace is found in a relationship with God, an active one, a growing one, a prioritized one. Here's the way it doesn't work according to Isaiah 13. Isaiah wrote, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It can't be just lip service. It has to be real and genuine and from the heart. Here's the way it does work, according to Jesus. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live rightly, and he will give you everything you need. It's a New Living Bible translation of Matthew 6:33 there. In other words, put God and his values as first priority in your life, And then these blessings we've been talking about today can be yours. That is how you build your life on the strong foundation of God. It means obedience. I told you I was going to come back to the subject of obedience. It does mean obedience. That's part of it. You won't be able to obey God perfectly. None of us can. But we can all try, and we can all get better at it. The effort to obey is vital in an active, growing, prioritized, saving relationship with Jesus. So is Bible study, personally in groups. So is regular prayer. So is being in relationship with other people who are genuinely trying to follow Jesus. So is learning from Jesus and then putting his teachings into practice in your life. These are all activities of an active, growing, prioritized relationship with God. These are the activities that can lead you to experiencing peace in your life. Second half of our central Bible passage for the day said this: whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." If you're seeking an active relationship with God, there will be many moments where you feel leadings like this. God will seek to lead you on his good path. And if you walk in the way he has for you, your peace will increase. Well, let me finish off our time here this morning by asking that question again. Do you have peace in your life? Would you say that the word peace is something you experience on a regular basis? And if the answer is no, and if you're willing to believe the things I have asserted to you today, that that God has a path available to you that can bring peace to your life, then I also have to ask you this: what steps are you going to take in your life in order to achieve that peace and to gain hold of it? Let this week be the week that you make that next step. Maybe it's, I'm going to grab one of the Daily Bread devotionals off of the literature rack in the back of the sanctuary there as I leave, and this week I'm going to begin having a daily time of Bible study and prayer with God. Maybe it's, I'm going to start this week making church a priority in my life. You know, church can get messy sometimes. I know that. We are all imperfect people trying to do life together. There will be conflict. But I would still like to strongly suggest to you that you are better off in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church than trying to do your walk with God on your own. You might get hurt less if you do your Christianity solo, but I guarantee you're not going to grow as much as you would if you're in church regularly, worshiping regularly, hearing sermons regularly, rubbing shoulders with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. Plus, I think solo Christianity leaves a lot of room for having incorrect ideas in our heads as well. We need each other, all right? Church can get messy, but it's the right place for Christ followers to be. And maybe that's the area that you need to make a commitment in this week. It's part of prioritizing God in your life. Maybe you've had an ongoing conflict with a person in your life and you're realizing this morning that part of this is because of your behaviors, and maybe this week you need to go set some of those things right, maybe even apologize. I don't know what your issue is. You have to ask yourself, in what area am I not experiencing peace in my life? And if I don't have peace there, why? Start praying about that. I really believe God will start giving you steps to take to move in the right direction there. And you know, if you're stuck, come see me. We'll brainstorm. We'll pray together. We'll figure it out. So a vision for you all this morning, a vision of what your life could look like, a life in which you regularly experience peace in all of these areas we've been talking about today, that is a goal worth pursuing, and it is attainable. God desires for you to come and be saved by him, to be healed by him, to mature in him. He desires for you to have peace. Isaiah 30, verses 15 and 21. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." May each of us here choose daily to walk in the way he calls us to.